It's time for the co-op show with your hosts, Petey and Jeremy. Game on, boys.
All right, we're back with episode, what is this, episode five, six?
Episode five, my episode friend. Five. Six if you count episode zero, but we don't count zero, so we're at episode five.
Got to bring in PK, my longtime close personal friend. How you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic, bud. Fantastic. Glad to be back. Dinner. What did I have for dinner? Oh, I just had a Tostino's pizza.
Ooh, nothing. I had Domino's.
Oh, you had Domino's? You had a better pizza than I, but...
Well, I didn't get my own pizza. I ate off... Izzy only gets cheese pizza, so I ate it first.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... You know, I got the weight loss surgery thing coming up, so I'm trying to curtail. But I did get some boneless chicken... I guess they're chicken nuggets, I guess.
Yeah, if it, they say boneless wings, but you take the bone out, you're eating a chicken
nugget. It's just nugget. But I got that with jalapeno and pineapple and cheese, and it was pretty good. So it was... I only had... three pieces of pizza, which is, for me, pretty good, because normally I'll crush a whole medium.
Yeah, right? You're like, yeah, like, get this thing out of here.
That Totino's pizzas, I could take about two of those down at a time. You know, anything. Anyway.
You had, man, you had the better pizza, though. Nothing wrong with Tostino's, but, like, comparing to Domino's.
Wait. What topping Tostino's?
Combination.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know, they don't have Mexican Totino's pizzas anymore. They used to have Mexican flavor, and man, that was good. Same with Jack's Pizza. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah. I guess they just didn't like making money.
It's like a different kind of cheese and seasonings and stuff. Oh,
don't they use a different sauce, too?
I think it's like the red sauce, like like enchilada sauce, I think. Something like that. Oh.
Yeah, because I always remember them tasting different. Like the sauce was a different, different flavor.
Yeah. So I want to do a story time.
Yes, sir.
For those that are new to the show, story time is where I tell a funny story or what I think is funny. Petey has loved my stories over the years. I've spun a tapestry of stories.
They're good stories.
Oh, my God. They go on and on and on. So last year, we were talking about how to reduce our budget and save money in the house. As people were doing, you know.
Yeah.
And I have been on my own. I've had Straight Talk Wireless for years. Because it fits my budget. It's perfect for me. Well, I have an iPhone on it. I've had iPhone for years now.
Yeah.
I just have like an iPhone like 7. And I've had
it. Well,
like,
that thing still works?
Oh, yeah. I shit my kid had an iPhone 6.
God and, dang, that's crazy. Most of the time with those updates, they start weeding those older generations out with those updates.
Well, a lot of the apps stop working first.
Yeah.
Completely. Because I had like an iPhone 5 and it finally went kaput.
Yeah.
So my kid, I had an iPhone 7 and Brett got my old 6. Well, I upgraded him to an 8 for his birthday, I think it was.
Nice.
So he had an old, better phone than I did, but they're still old phones. I've had these phones for years.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and we found a plan at, I think it was Verizon, I want to say, or maybe T-Mobile. I think it's Verizon. But the amount of money that we would pay for each line was the same that we would pay Straight Talk. So I was like, okay. And the reason why we would flip to it is we would all get new phones. Like the I got this iPhone, whatever the new one is right now, 14 or
15, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the 3 cameras or whatever. But I made a hell of a jump, right?
Well, yeah, I was about to say, you're going from a 7 to a 15.
I'm doubling, you know. So we're sitting there, and they're trying to port my number in, and it's kind of a pain in the rear to port your number in.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I don't care about my number. I'm not attached to it. And I was like, you know what? Just give me a whole new one. And guy's like, okay. And it's just me and Tori sitting there. And he types away. And he goes, okay, I've got, and I won't tell you the first 6, but the last 4 are 1873. And I'm like, okay. That was the year the Magna Carta was signed. And Tori just stops. And slowly looks at me. And I'm not looking. I can see her in my periphery. And she looks right in my eyes. And I'm looking straight ahead, right? So it's like a cross view. And I could see her with this big smile and like squinting her eyes and trying to figure out if I'm fucking around.
Pushing her?
Yeah. And And I'm sitting here. I'm just sitting there. I slowly look at her and I'm like, faced. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, no, I have no idea.
It sounded good though, right?
It sounded good in my head.
And you know what I love to do to people too, when they hit you with last, well, like a year, and you just look at them and be like, hey, that was a great year. A lot of great stuff happened there. And they looked at you and they like look at you and they get confused and they're like, wait, was it really a good year? What happened? And you're like, I don't fucking know.
I have no idea. Well, day before yesterday, standing here in the living room and Tori's here. Mm-hmm. We're all here and her mom's here. And it was a little muggy outside.
Yeah.
And I knew what the temperature was. I think it was like in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing here and I go, I wonder what the dew point was this morning. And she looks at me and with this million-dollar smile. And she's like, really? The dew point? And I'm like, what? That's important. And she's like,
it adds to the humidity for the day.
Yeah. And she's like, the dew point isn't important. I'm like, yes, it is. And I sat down and I read her out. Because I think if it's above 50, it's going to be more humid. Uh-huh. And you don't want it at 50. You want it below. I think you don't want it higher than 35, I think it is.
Yeah.
But it just it blew her mind. Just like it did that day. She got the same look that day at the phone store.
I can't ever take you seriously.
Yeah, that's the problem. Oh, but yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
I watched
speaking of the weather real quick, man.
Oh yeah.
Man, fucking last week we go from what 30 to 40. Now we're back up to 70s, 80s. Like this shit's ridiculous, man. Oh my God.
This is nuts, man.
Thanks, Missouri.
1 minute it's on. I get the heat on. So I get the heat on, but in our living room, we don't have any vents that stretch. We have a separate heater for the living room. And so we've got our own air conditioner in the living room and freaking like it ends up being warm in there in the kitchen area because of the heater. But then in the living room, you end up freezing your balls off unless you turn the heater on. And then it gets warm. Well, in there, the heater's still on. But out here, the heater's off because it's getting warmer. So I got to turn my air on, and it's just a battle going back and forth.
You're constantly fighting the elements. It's
like, yeah. What was I going to tell you about? Oh, I got a new dog.
Oh, nice.
First dog I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
Doesn't like me.
The dog doesn't like you?
Won't come near me. Runs from me.
Yeah.
I have to corner it and sit down on the couch and pet it. And then it will pet and give me lovin's and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But if I try to go near it, takes off. I'm not yelled at it, not hit it, nothing. Just damn dog hates me.
What's why, man? You haven't showed any kind of dominance, man. You raise your hand real quick and, you know, swat it once or twice. I'm like, this guy means business. Don't take us down, people.
This guy means business. You see the eclipse last week?
Hill girl on you. Yeah, I can't really see right anymore, but it was. yeah, I see it. I got some pretty neat pictures of it. Walked out on the deck, looked up at the sky, and like I got it right as it was like starting to. I'm sitting here playing Mountain Blade, and yep. I'm looking out the window. Like, I know they said about 2 o'clock, and it's about 1:45, 1:50 p.m. Like, I look out the window. I'm like, well, it's getting kind of dark out. I'm like, fuck. It shouldn't be time for the eclipse yet. And I was like, well, shit. So I paused Mountain Blade, and I get up, and I go look out. Walk out on the back deck, and the sun is still just out, right? And I kind of, like, I grab our, what is it, the ISO graded glasses that we had on the table. I grabbed them, I put them on, and I look up at the sun. And, like, I could see it start to kind of crest over the sun a little bit. And I was like, oh, it's not time. But, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, I went out and saw it when it first, about what you had did. Mm-hmm. I saw it starting to. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it got real dark because I've got, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 7 windows here.
Yeah.
All my front, my living room was like all freaking windows.
All windows? Yeah. Thank God. Better pray there's never a sniper outside. Oh, my God. Just waiting.
Yeah. And so it all got super dark. I'm like, oh, shit. We went outside. Me and Brett looked at it. I'm like, okay, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Wait up to it.
Gotta say, man, I was pretty pissed, man. So I don't know what our totality was. I think we might have been almost at 100, if not 100. I didn't look at any of that. But as soon as it went over the sun, you know, they, you know, take, I didn't even have the glasses on at the time because I was just using my phone camera to try to take pictures of it. And once it like fully covered it, I was like, oh, I can look at this now. Gotta say, man, I'm kind of pissed. I was hoping to like pass out and wake up with some kind of superpowers or go to sleep and wake up the next day with some kind of superpowers. Nothing happened, man. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened at all.
I'm still waiting on something. Maybe my, my gene DNA code got changed somehow. I just got to wait. Or maybe it's one of those, maybe it's one of those I got pushed to the end of my life, like I'm fighting for my life or something. That's when it kicks in. Oh, we'll never know, though, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did this last week that I've never done before, and it wasn't to look at the eclipse. I tried an Uncrustable for the first time.
Yo, hold on a second. What?
Yeah, 41 years. Like, they didn't have Uncrustables when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so as I got older, I'm not in the peanut butter. Like, I can take in very small doses. So, for me, it was not something I ever was like, man, let's get
some. I need it. Yeah, like, I got to try this.
I bought it for my kids, but I never had one. And the other night, it was late at night, and I'm trying. My dietitian's like, you can't do fourth meal anymore. You got to stop it. And if you do eat something, you need to eat, like, fruit or vegetables, something very small. Don't cook anything. All right. I go in the fridge. I'm looking. I'm like, Uncrustable. Okay, well, doesn't really fit what she said, but it's not a giant bowl of ramen noodles like I normally do. I'll try one. We had strawberry, and I took one bite into it, and oh my God, it's amazing. I bought a whole other box of strawberry, a big box of grape ones. As soon as I got them in the house, they lasted about a day and a half because of the kids. Oh, holy
crap. Yeah, they're good. They're good, man.
I wish I hadn't slept on those damn things.
Yeah, they're it's like a drug for food, man. I think they put cocaine in them or something, but they're so good.
I like that because I didn't have them frozen. I kept them in the fridge. I like that the bread was nice and chilled but not soggy or anything, you know.
Yeah,
it held when you bite through it. It holds the whole way and nothing ever slips and every it's just nice. It's a good peanut butter to jelly ratio, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Now I will warn you. Sometimes when you bite into one, sometimes they're that spot that you bite. Sometimes is filled with like extra jelly, or maybe it's just the way it's pushed. But sometimes it will just either one explode over your face, or it will blow the ass out of the Uncrustable, and jelly will just shoot everywhere from the back of it.
Like into your mouth?
No, onto the floor.
Like it's like the Uncrustable is either shooting you in the face or shooting all over the floor.
Yeah.
You could at least take me out for dinner if it's going to be
there's that. No, there's no warning, man. There's no warning.
God.
You might wake up and $20 will be missing out of your wallet.
Yeah. God.
And Water's a note that said I had fun.
Guys in the corner puking its guts out. Lastly, from this past week, I watched the Roadhouse remake. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I've seen clips of it.
Oh, it's great. It's absolutely great.
Is it good?
It's good. Yeah.
I've heard such hit and miss. I've heard it's a piece of shit. I've heard it's
great.
It's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's worth watching once because like it follows certain beats. He works at a roadhouse.
Yeah.
He has to fight against some local criminals,
some rich guy
fights. Yeah, gets laid. That's it. That's I mean, it's
more it's essentially fun. Roadhouse right there.
Yeah, it's Roadhouse. Roadhouse. But I like, and spoiler alert, skip forward if you haven't heard this. And I know Petey, you won't care, but at the end, he doesn't stick around. He leaves.
Okay. Like
in the original, he sticks around with a gal, you know. And
yeah, they're ski dipping in the middle of the day in the lake.
In this one, they're like, you need to go. And he's like, yeah, I need to go. And he gets on the bus and just takes off. I'm like, cool, there could be another one.
Now, sure, it's never really implied that Dalton stays in the original, but I think he does stay just because the fact that
he's in the little,
they're hanging out in the lake.
Yeah, they're in the lake. Elmer's sitting there watching them for some reason. I don't know. That's weird. But I will say this. There's not... The sexuality in this one is toned down. Like, there's not... It's not... There's not a lot of, you know, heterosexual or homosexuality just thrown in your face like the original. Like, you're not going to see a titties everywhere and then a dude completely naked for some strange reason. It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's none of that's there. But... The fighting looks cool because they were able to use a little CGI to keep the camera. Like, there's not a lot of camera cuts for fighting. Mm-hmm. So it looks really good. This is like, holy shit. You can see them punch each other, essentially.
Now, I will ask this because we've talked about it before. We've talked about Roadhouse.
No.
Is there a part in the movie where they're getting ready to fight? Like, who is it? It's Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor, I know, is in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, is there a part where, like, they're getting ready to fight and one of them says, I used to fuck guys like you in prison?
No, that's not. That's
all right.
Not there. That's still not there this time around.
Thank God. That was such an out of place line in that movie that we've always talked about. Like, why would he say that?
There was, I got a buddy of mine, Nick.
Like, that's not a hard line. Like, that's not something. That's not something that says I'm tough.
My buddy Nick years ago was talking to me about Roadhouse, and he's like, there's a lot of homosexual innuendo in that movie. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, what about that guy that gets laid at the beginning and Dalton fires him? I'm like, yeah, he's nailing that one girl, having sex with that one. Yeah,
in the back of the... He was on his break, man.
Yeah, on his break. And he's like, yeah, well, that guy was completely naked, and she wasn't naked at all. And we saw everything for him. And I'm like, really? I wasn't paying attention to that. And then I fucked guys in the ass like
him.
And then what you just mentioned, he mentioned that to me. I'm like, really? I never thought about that. Like, there's a lot.
Hey, man, the 80s was a crazy time.
It was, man. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that stuff. I'm just saying, when you don't notice it, so someone points it out, it's like, oh,
yeah,
man, that is kind of crazy.
Well, so they didn't throw that back in the movie, so.
No. What'd you do over the week? We talked about me. What about you? You do anything? You just sit around?
I work, man.
Fucking loser.
Pretty much it. Dude, story of my life, man. Like, God dang. Nowhere in your life did anybody tell you that, hey, you're just going to be working your life every single day.
Hey.
As a kid, somebody might have told you, but you're like, you're living the high life, man. You don't have bills to pay. You don't have to worry about a job. All you got to do is go to school for 8 hours in a day. And it wasn't even really.
Dude, you're like, oh, God, I hate going to school.
God, I got to go to school.
Back in those days.
Yeah, right? And you're like, you're on cloud nine, man. And then you get older, and it's like, boom, I'm just working. And, you know, evening shift on top of that kind of sucks because.
Draining.
Yeah, you just can't really plan anything. So it's like. Man, I could play a video game throughout the day, but it's like, I know that I'm going to get caught up in doing something.
Yeah.
That I'm going to look, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't save my game right now, but I have to go to work. Oh, shit. And it's like, hey, cool, I guess I could leave my Xbox on, but I've got it where it sets off after a few hours of inactivity.
Hey, at least during the day, you can go and run errands, because that's something that Tori has an issue with big time, because she doesn't get off until 4:30 and everything's closes by 5. All right, well, let's jump into the news. We got
we have news, don't we?
Yeah, we got news to go through. Friday the 13th, the game Resurrected, hit with cease and desist. Cease and desist letter for Friday the 13th Resurrected has been served to its developer, ending the campaign to bring a fan-made game to Steam. With Friday the 13th, the game no longer available to download either, fans will need to continue getting their Jason Voorhees fixed elsewhere. Just after announcing Friday the 13th Resurrected, saying it was coming to Steam, the game was hit with legal action from Horror Inc., the owner of the Friday the 13th IP. Mm-hmm. Now, the unofficial fan-made project was developed as a free-to-play game intended to officially release on April 15th, 2024. Following the C&D from Horror Inc.'s legal representation, all efforts are being put toward removing their content from any consumable material. Let's see here.
That would have been tomorrow.
Yeah, Horror Inc. hit them with the cease and desist saying unlawful game content. The basis for their game calls out the unauthorized use of RIP's rights to develop an unlicensed knockoff game in reference to the use of images, settings, and obviously the character of Jason Voorhees. This follows Friday the 13th, the game, being delisted in 2023 after similar legal trouble. Now, the game came out in 2017.
Oh, and that's crazy.
It's been a while. It's
yeah, it has.
Shit, right? So throughout this whole time, and actually all the way back to, I want to say 03, maybe, there's been this ongoing legal battle between Horror Inc. and, oh, I messed up his name now. I think it's Ron Kurtz. I could be wrong. Let me look it up. So this guy that wrote, he wrote Friday the 13th, and he came up with Jason Voorhees, the name. He came up with the mom, the setting, essentially. He worked on it with Sean Cunningham. Victor Miller, that's it, Victor Miller. Now, this this piece of shit, Victor Miller, didn't want any other Friday the 13th movies being made. He's not seen any of them. He disowns them. He doesn't want anything to do with them.
Really? Wow. That's
That's
absolutely crazy. So, like, he did this after the first movie launched?
Yeah, he, like, when first movie came out, it was fine. They went to make a sequel. He wanted none of it. Now, they have to keep giving him credit because of the name and the character. What he doesn't own is the hockey mask and some of the settings from later movies.
Okay.
But he owns Jason.
And he owns the name.
You can put anybody in a hockey mask. It's not Jason unless they're named Jason.
Yeah.
It's not Jason Voorhees unless it's named Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all there is to it. And this douchebag took, I think it was Horror Inc. and a couple other people to court, Sean Cunningham, the one of the original, like the creator. And they've been fighting a legal battle over the rights for years. And they finally let, I think Victor Miller finally won. And as soon as that happened, everything on the game had to stop. And they had already had to stop. They actually had to stop developing a couple years ago. Because like Uber Jason was done. Gretel Map was done, not released because of what happened a couple years ago in court. Yeah. And then all they could do is fix things. They couldn't add anything. And then when this came down last year, they have to they took away dedicated servers. They delisted at the end of the year, and the servers that are up now are going to be done for good December 31st. So, and you can't buy the game anymore. You might be able to get a physical copy still if you can find one, but digitally, no, you can't get one.
I mean, right there, like, for me personally, if you own a physical copy of that game, that technically just became a collector's item because...
Especially if you didn't open it.
Yeah, because you ain't getting it anywhere else because they ain't making more copies.
Now, the Resurrection, which was also called the Complete Edition, was made purely by fans. It's not like some... The original creators went back and no, it's not. They moved on. They made the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game.
Yeah.
So they're in a whole new.
They got their hands in another bucket right now with that. So
I'll give you what the developers of the Resurrection here to give you an idea. They used Jason Voorhees, Camp Crystal Lake, because it's in the game already. And I want to clear this up. The article, which you can find on Game Rant, calls the Jason sound the ch-ch-ch. Know that? That's not it. That's not the sound. The sound is kill, 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 ma, ma, ma. But it's sped up so fast that it sounds like.
Yeah.
So that's not accurate on them. So I'm just going to point. I'm a huge Friday 13th fan, if anybody doesn't know. So I fucking. Trust me, I know this.
you know you're up to date on your.
I'm up to date. But any of those being used in the game could cost the developers $150,000 each per the lawsuit. So if they any of that, and you're talking about every download, $150,000 for the sound, the Crystal Lake, the Voorhees.
Yeah, you know? But that's not for the kill, 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 ma, 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 right?
No, that's for using that sound.
Oh, just okay. Just the sound, yeah. Like even
sound
replicating the sound.
Yeah, using that sound in the game, Crystal Lake, Voorhees, all that. Hunter Pig.
Man, that's crazy too, because it's like it's changed lyrics and it's sped up, but just because the sped up version sounds like that.
Now, if you're wondering, well, Jeremy, Dead by Daylight has all these guys, so does Mortal Kombat. Well, that's because they work with other third-party developers and not Jason. That's why you don't see him popping up over there. I think Jason popped up in Mortal Kombat, but that was before the lawsuit. That
all this
before
happened.
Before the even game came out, right.
Yeah, so what, still, was that Mortal Kombat 10, I think? Mortal Kombat X, I think that they added
it was X.
Yeah. Jason into it. It wasn't this newest one, but it was the one before that.
And there was even a Jason puzzle game that came out on Steam.
And mobile devices. I remember, it was a crazy little, like, it was one of those where, like, you swipe and he, like,
it was
goes
like,
to the wall, goes down. Like, it was like a, you're trying to.
You remember Hitman Go and Tomb Raider Go?
Yeah.
It was that.
Yeah.
You're basically trying to take all the counselors out with so many moves and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those like Jenga puzzle moving things where it's like you got to move these out of the way to get to here.
Right, and even that's been relisted as Camp Killer or something like that now. So
I didn't know it was still around. That came out so long ago.
Yeah, but and it's not a bad game either. It's just I can't play it now. So Friday 13th, finish up your games. You know, they level capped everybody. They opened everything up. So you've got, what's it, April, you got... Was that 6-7 more months? Something like that?
So
whatever 12 minus... What's 12 minus 4? Eight months.
8 months.
You got 8 months to play it.
Yeah. Man, because I know you played this pretty religiously for... I mean, this was kind of your go-to game for...
I level capped on Xbox, PC, and Switch without them having to do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, this was your... this was always your go-to. If I don't have anything else to play... everything's just boring right now, I would see you fire this up and you would play this.
It was even better on the Switch because then I didn't have to worry about having the TV. I could just sit in the couch and play. And I did for hours. I got like, I think it said, I can look it up real quick, but I think I got like 400 hours on Switch of it.
Yeah.
Ungodly amount.
Now, have you played the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game yet?
I did, and I played a couple games and I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I found myself just enjoying. It was...
It wasn't that replacement, like you played it and you're like, man, there's just... Something about it wasn't like, it couldn't be a replacement for the Friday the 13th game.
444 hours is what I get on the Switch.
For Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, my problem was that I was used to just Jason chasing me, and in that game, you've got the hitchhiker, you've got Leatherface, then Grandpa shows up, and then there's traps that you can set, there's traps you can disarm, but then other people are coming along and setting them and disarming them, and it's like, unless you're on a team and actually trying to play, you're probably not going to have a great time, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else could have fun with it.
Yeah, I personally haven't played it yet, so I knew you kind of dabbled in a little bit, so I was curious of how you...
They put it on Game Pass, so I'm like, oh, cool. Now, I bought Evil Dead, the game, and absolutely hated that. I thought I was going to like that. It was terrible.
But... Yeah. Now, I have played a little bit of Dead by Daylight. I think I've got maybe not a lot of hours. I think I might have 7, maybe 8 hours into it.
I can't remember if I played Dead by Daylight or Dying Light.
Dying Light's the zombie game.
I think it was that one then.
Yeah.
I always get the two confused because Dead by Daylight, Dying Light.
Dying Light, yeah. There's kind of, they can kind of mash a little bit. Dead by Daylight, it's interesting, man. It can be a fun horror game.
It's a game.
It's definitely one of those, for me personally, if you have a group of buddies to play, then yeah, absolutely, it's a blast. But if you're playing by yourself, it's, I mean, I guess playing by yourself, you can find that enjoyment in it. But when I played by myself, I was like, this is better with buddies.
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me.
Speaking of not for me, Ray is about Dr. Disrespect.
No,
and he opens up about the price of a Twitch ban on his career. Renowned content creator Dr. Disrespect recently opened up about the repercussions of his ban from the leading streaming service Twitch, describing it as a challenging period in his career. He revealed that the Twitch ban resulted in a loss of major sponsorships, such as a deal with the well-known brand Nike. Mm-hmm. Many people who use Twitch are aware that the platform often suspends its even most popular streamers for breaking the rules. Sometimes Twitch informs the streamers about why they were banned, but other times they don't, which can be confusing. Dr. Disrespect was permanently banned in 2020, and to this day, the public has never been told the reason behind it. Even after 4 years, the incident still draws attention with comments from Twitch executives, Dr. Disrespect himself, and rival streaming platforms interested in signing him. During a recent stream, Dr. Disrespect shared his insights into the aftermath of his Twitch ban, highlighting the profound impact it had on him. He described the ban as a challenging period and acknowledged that its efforts went beyond just losing the audience on the platform. He revealed other repercussions such as missed opportunities, financial setbacks due to lost deals, and sponsorships with places like Oakley. Doc teased the audience by mentioning that he could showcase Oakley prototypes at the moment. It's undeniable.
Oakley would have been big for him. Sorry to cut you off there, would have been huge for him just due to the fact that, like, his personality of Dr. Disrespect, he's always wearing shades. So
isn't that part of, like, his
it's his persona. Like, it's part branding. Of his persona.
It's in his icon, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's important.
Like, always wearing Oakley, if he always wore Oakley shades, like, that would have been a huge sponsorship right there for him.
Yeah. Now, it's undeniable that Doc's Twitch ban had significant implications, given his huge following of over 4 million and more than 50 million subscribers at the time. However, Doc handled the ban well by moving to YouTube, where he now has over 4.7 million subscribers. Furthermore, speculations have been circulating about his potentially joining Kick, Twitch's competitor streaming platform. The platform has successfully attached numerous top-tier streamers since its establishment in December of 2022. Notably, Doc previously expressed his desire for a hefty $50 million to consider transitioning from YouTube to Kick.
Man, I wish I had that level of fame where I could just be like, if you want me on your platform, I want at least no less than $50 million. Like, how? Like, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. Like, I wish I had that kind of, pool.
What I find funny about Dr. Disrespect, there we go. Mm-hmm. Trying to open a bottle of water without being locked. And as I get the cap off, it's perforated on the little ring, right?
Dude,
comes off except the very last one, which pulls. Like, it's made of steel. Like, it doesn't want to let go.
I hate when water bottles aren't cut around the cap all the way, because that exact thing right there, and you know, you try to pop the cap off and it ends up with you pull the cap off. You finally get the last little, I guess, nipple or whatever to break, but, you know, spilling water all over the place because you fucking jerk your hand.
So anyway, I've watched Dr. Disrespect, and I got to say something. He's not very good at gaming. So it's got to be a gimmick that people watch for, because I've watched him in Call of Duty games just
get annihilated.
And my thought process on it, I was under the impression that generally people watch people on Twitch or YouTube or whatever because they're good at the game they're playing.
So they used to. That used to be kind of the shtick was, you know, you'd want to watch people that were good at the games. But over the years, they started to kind of integrate more. You can play the game, but if you're able to have a character or you're able to interact really good with your audience or your viewership, that's where that really comes in. So, like, Dr. Disrespect is really good with viewer interaction. So he doesn't necessarily have to be super good at the game that he's playing, because he has that interaction with his his fan base.
Because, like, when I did games on YouTube, I played a lot of games that I knew. And I played some that I wasn't necessarily the best at.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, live streaming where, you know, like to me, you'd want to live stream a game you know how to play, you're good at.
Yeah.
Because people are watching it live. If they can go back and just watch it whenever, then who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, they can skip through all the parts that they're like, man, this guy sucks at this part. I'll skip forward to see if he either gets past it or gets any better. Also, that's another thing. You know, people tend to watch people that aren't good at games because, number one, it's going to make them feel better about themselves, especially if they start struggling on a part that they didn't struggle with. And, like, we're talking that they're sitting there struggling for hours. And, like, man, well, this guy sucks. And, like, you know, you start getting frustrated. You start getting mad. And, like, that really feeds into that whole, like, you don't really have to be good at the game you're playing anymore.
Yeah.
Which, it is funny you say that because that's always the mentality of, like, a few years ago when you and I kind of started to try to stick our toes in the live streaming, it was always the mentality that I had of, I don't want to play this game because I know I'm not good at it. And, like, I wanted to appear that I was good at games. And I'm like, I didn't want to play something I wasn't good at. And then people come in and be like, man, this guy sucks. Because, like, that right there, like, you know, now I don't really care. But at the time, it was kind of like, you know, that could hurt the confidence. But like, man, fuck, I do suck. Why am I doing this? You know, you start getting in your head a little bit.
Yeah. What I did with the YouTube when it came to that was, like, okay, so I played through Zelda 2, which mm-hmm. I love Zelda 2. And I'm pretty good at it, but I still die at it. You know, things happen.
Yeah.
So as I went along, I made sure to drop, you know, not hints necessarily, but just be like, yeah, you never know when you could, you know, I'm not perfect at the game. You never know. And, mm-hmm. and I just didn't want people to think that I'm, number one, I'm not a speedrunner. And two,
yeah,
I can't do it perfectly, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like if you mention that up front, you can kind of, you know,
save face
and people go with you. But yeah, like I said, when it comes to live streaming, I don't want to watch someone die over and over and over again when mm-hmm. I can't fast forward it.
Yeah. You know?
If you're going to die over again, that's fine, but I want to fast forward it.
Yeah. Like I want to see you not, you want to see them not struggle. Like you want to see some progression. You want to yeah. see some and progression.
I also don't understand how the guy plays with sunglasses on. Like, holy shit. I don't know how he does it.
Dude, he's the two-time man, back-to-back. He's his prototype lenses in his glasses, man. It he sees the screen in his prototype glasses.
Is that legit? Yeah.
No.
Okay, I was about to say, like...
No.
That would make sense, you know?
He says outlandish shit like that all the time. So, like, if something happens, like, sometimes when he dies or something... he'll get mad and he'll be like these prototype lenses aren't working right now, and like he'll fucking throw those off, but he has another pair on under, like he'll turn his back to the camera and you'll see him take his glasses off and he'll drop them and he'll turn around and he just has another pair on underneath it. so that's the thing. Like old retro games that I know that you love to play, those are really difficult to like live stream because everybody that goes in there is under the impression that you are speed running that game.
Yeah.
You were speed running that game. So like, as soon as they drop in and they see you not speed running, they're like, why is he playing this? I thought this was a speed run. Like, I am not a speed runner.
I did put my speed run of Super Mario Brothers on the channel. It was funny because years ago I recorded it mm-hmm. with a digital camera that I pointed at the TV, very crude.
I remember like this.
2011, I think it was.
Yeah.
So like, I got the capture card in, and I had taught myself with OBS. I hooked everything up, and I fiddled around with it. So I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I said, the first thing I'm going to record is a speed run of this game.
Yeah.
So I've got the original that looks like shit, and then I've got the good one that looks mm-hmm. like great. So that was the first one I did, baby.
Yeah.
So it's there. Link is on the front of the page if you want to see the all my YouTube videos are there. So
old a trip, a blast to the past, per se. You know what's kind of funny about this is, so, you know, there's no, it's not hidden that kind of randomly Twitch will just take a popular streamer on their platform and be like, hey, you're banned because you did X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But normally it's always, you know, they're live streaming again in like 2 days or a week, maybe a month sometimes. I think Dr. Disrespect was their first like, hey, you're out of here. Like, off the platform. You can't have any affiliation with Twitch. He couldn't stream with people that streamed on Twitch. So I know that was a headache there for a while, because I know he was he would stream with people like Tim the Tapman and people like that. And
he was controversial. I mean, I don't remember anything off the top of my head, but I remember reading about him being controversial in some fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, he went to YouTube and started, and it was put out that, hey, if you stream with Dr. Disrespect on Twitch, then you will also be permanently banned. So that was a big...
Well, he pissed somebody off.
Yeah, which I think that's been... Yeah. I think a few years ago, I believe that got retracted and people can stream with him again. But for a long time, he couldn't be integrated into Twitch in any fashion whatsoever.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, he was the first one that like Twitch was like, hey, no, you can't do this. And then after that, I think people really thought Twitch was going to start throwing the gavel down, the hammer, start banning more people. And like they did, but it was still the typical Twitch bans where it's like, hey, give it a couple days and you'll be back on.
They may have made an example out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They were like, nope, you're done, man. You're done.
Well, you know what they say, when you go to prison, you got to knock out the biggest guy. You know. Speaking of prison, EA Play, the video game subscription service owned by Electronic Arts,
is getting a
price increase starting May 10th. Like other subscription-based services, EA Play provides subscribers, access to a select library of games, but unlike Xbox Game Pass, EA Play includes games published by Electronic Arts. Those with a subscription to PC Game Pass or Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, however, have access to the EA Play game library at no additional cost. Mm-hmm. A new report from GameIndustry.biz says that EA plans to increase the prices of the standard from $4.99 to $5.99 a month, $29.99 to $39.99 annually, mm-hmm. and the pro tier goes from $14.99 to $16.99 a month and $99 to $119 annually.
Mm-hmm.
Emails viewed by IGN are currently going out to users notifying them when the price increase will take effect. The new prices seem to have already taken effect for some new members. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, sorry. When I read this, when you sent me the script and I read this, I've got to say, what I know of EA, I was honestly surprised at how low the increases actually were.
Yeah, yeah.
That really surprised me, because I was expecting a huge price spike. But honestly, there wasn't. You know, obviously there's $1 for the monthly for the standard and $10 for the annual, and then $2 for the pro tier.
What I also like is that you still get it with Xbox Live Game Pass or PC Game Pass.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's included. Because for me, I've got the Ultimate Game Pass.
Obviously. That's what I have too, yeah.
Yeah. Just fuck it.
It's a little bit more pricey, but hey, man, you get it all.
And I get, you know, I do the rewards thing. I mean, well, I don't do it. He does it. Mm-hmm. He downloads enough shit to turn in points for game cards. Oh, yeah, he does the whole time.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so EA's this bad company. Ooh. But at the end of the day, they've got great games, man. I mean, Assassin's Creed, fucking great games. Mm-hmm. They've got the Battlefield games. Those are fucking phenomenal. They hit it every year with Madden, you know. Mm-hmm. I think
they do. They pump out Madden. They pump those out every year, man. But they always do. It's funny, I always hear people, my buddy Brennan, I think he's playing the new one, and he pretty much just says the typical, like, you know, kind of updated graphics, sure. New player roster. That's pretty much all that they do. Yeah. I miss the old Madden games, man, where, fuck, dude, you'd create your superstar, and it actually felt like you're playing in the NFL, like decisions mattered and stuff like that. And I don't think they do the stuff like that anymore. I think they still have, like, you know, the create a player, create a team kind of stuff, but I don't think they really go in depth. Because, like, now they have I think they do story modes now.
Yeah.
I think that's what they do. So, like, there's some kind of some story mode where you play as a, I think it's mostly a quarterback rising from his last year in college, and then has to go through the draft and then all that shit. They've because I haven't played a Madden game in, I don't know, probably been 10 years.
Well, the problem with Madden, and I'm not a Madden player, but the problem with Madden is, which sounds so odd to say, but every year they release essentially the same game with new rosters. What they should do is say, okay, it's 2024. This Madden came out. Next year, all they need to do is not put out a new game.
Yeah.
They need to put out a downloadable content pack for like half the money with, you know, new players, new roster, maybe some new, you know, some new stadiums, some new storylines,
designs and stuff like that. Just a new story, to the,
Yeah. And then maybe the maybe the next year you do another full game, or you just do one more year of stuff. And then they need to do what they did with Battlefield. Think back to Battlefield for a second. Battlefield 3 would come out and then Battlefield 4 would come out. But in between those, you had at least a year off. Like you go a full year and then you have another year until 4 came out.
And then you'd have content. Like they would release DLC content with map expansions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they did with all their Battlefield games. Why can't they do that with Madden? That just, to me, that it's the same way with WWE on the 2K.
Yeah.
Like they just kept pushing them out. Then I'm like, you're not giving us anything new. Yeah.
Take a break. Like just stop. Like just add a DLC or two here. You know, take a little bit of break and then start thinking about a new game.
Like I can't miss you unless you're gone. Jesus.
Every time I turn around, you're at my doorstep. Hey, man, can I come in? I know I think it's the Madden's Ultimate League or whatever it is. It's like the card game kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's still pretty big the Madden games.
They also have the PGA Masters, because I downloaded that the other day, and it's phenomenal.
Well, I haven't downloaded the PGA game since the Roy McIlroy.
Yeah, debacle.
As soon as I bought that motherfucker, it went on sale, dude. God dang, man. I'm so
$5. And then they put on Game Pass.
Well, you kind of got hit with the me luck where you bought it on sale, and then it went to Game Pass.
I hit a hole in one in that game.
You know what I would love, man? Imagine if they did. You know, they somehow, one of them out there, one of the higher ups, was listening to the podcast, and they took our advice and like, you know what? Let's take a break for a year, and they hit us with Street Football. Street 3.
Like the NFL Street games?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do that. Or a new Blitz.
Ooh, new Blitz would be, man. Ooh, Blitz would be crazy, man. One of those, any of those would be
Cyber Ball 2049. Bring that out.
Yeah, man. Like
that's where you get the football, and if you don't make it to the end zone, it blows up and kills you. Seriously.
I don't know why they don't make those older games again, man. Like, start those up again.
Yeah, who knows?
I guess they're scared of making too much money, I guess. I don't know, man.
They hate money there. They hate it.
They really do. They really do.
Speaking of older games, the Nintendo Switch Online got 3 new Super Nintendo games this past week. They are Amazing and... God damn, I'm saying this right. Amazing Hebricki?
Hebricki? I don't know.
It's Hebrecki. Hebrecki.
Whatever it is, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's not. I play this. Super R-Type, which is awesome, despite the slowdown. And Wrecking Crew 98, a game I never thought I'd ever, ever, ever get to play.
Mm-hmm.
So the first game, Amazing Hebrecki, it makes it one of the games released in the West for the first time, as it was just developed by Sunsoft and only released in Japan. Players battle it out in a 4-player match on stages with items and traps to take advantage of or avoid. The game is playable in both single player and 4-player versus multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
The second game is Super R-Type, a side-scrolling space shooter released in 1991 that was developed and published by IREM. Now, there was R-Type, R-Type 2, and I think Super R-Type, I think it's a mix of both, but I'm not particularly sure. Like all the other arcade space shooters of the era, Players control a spaceship and gather power-up items to fight through 7 challenging stages and bosses. Massive slowdown. This is one of the earliest Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. And so it's littered. It's not a bullet hell, but it's littered with shit and slows down to almost a crawl. It's ridiculous. But still a good game. Still a good game.
The Switch is chugging for it, huh?
Well, it's like I accepted that it was the early 90s, Super Nintendo 92.
Yeah.
92, you know, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
You can fix that slowdown for 2024. I'm just saying. It's an emulation. You can fix it, right?
There's been a little bit of time in between these
games. Some development in between then and now.
I feel like we've had a little bit of technological advances that maybe you could fix some things.
The last game is Wrecking Crew 98. A Japan-only action puzzle game that was released late in the Super Nintendo's life cycle, about 2 years after release of the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sequel to the NES original Wrecking Crew, which is available on the Switch Online, the Nintendo Online. Wrecking Crew 98 has players completing a series of hammer-based dot. Wrecking Crew 98 has players completing a series of hammer-based demolition puzzles against various opponents. Players cannot not only control Mario, but also a number of new and old foes, including Foreman Spike, mm-hmm. who recently made an appearance in the Super Mario Brothers movie as a supporting character. He was the guy at the very beginning that harassed them in the little diner.
Okay.
The Wrecking Crew behind, he was that guy.
When I
saw that, I'm like, oh my God, it's Spike from Wrecking Crew. And of course, everyone else in the audience is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That would have been one of those little Easter eggs that very few people would have got, because I didn't know that. But
Wrecking Crew was one of the black box titles for the NES,
mm-hmm.
and it did fine in Japan.
Yeah,
it did okay over here because I mean, you know, you had Mario, Super Mario Brothers. So are you gonna buy Wrecking Crew or Super Mario Brothers?
You're gonna buy Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. Like that's a no brainer. I mean, some people could have bought both, but most people probably just bought Super Mario Brothers.
Like I said before, Amazing Heckbree, this is the first Heckbree, first time it's out in the U.S., and then Wrecking Crew 98 as well, which is, I played quite a bit of it over the weekend. It was awesome. Definitely get over there and check it out. I love that they're still putting out these old games on the online, the SNES, the NES. Uh-huh. We got F-Zero on the GBA last month, and we got 2 Fire Emblem games on the GBA Advance about 2 months ago, I think it was.
Oh, they're rolling in some old Fire Emblem, huh?
Yeah, they got 2 Fire Emblems on there, I think it was.
I mean, makes sense, because Fire Emblem's pretty big on the Switch now, that on Nintendo, so yeah, that makes sense.
1 month we got... We got a bunch from Rare, like Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
What was another one we got? RC Pro-Am for the NES. Ooh, that was a good game, man. Let me
see. Man, you know, I don't think they have... Do they have Banjo on there? They got any of the Banjos on there?
They do on... Let me double check it.
On the 64?
I believe it's on the 64. Let me double check here. I guess I could have done all this research before.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
This has helped our podcast stick out.
we don't know everything, so.
Yeah, they got Banjo-Kazooie on here.
Okay.
They got Blast Corps, GoldenEye, Jet Force Gemini, Pilot Wings, F-Zero, Excite Bike, Wave Race 1080, Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2.
Ooh.
Pokemon Snap, Mario Party... Let's see, 2, 3, and...
They got 4?
Oh, Mario, I'm sorry. Mario Party 1, 2, and 3, not 4.
Okay, all right.
Kirby the Crystal Shards, Mario Golf and Tennis, both Zelda games, Paper Mario, my favorite, Mario Kart, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, I hope they got some Glover on there, man. I love me some Glover.
That is actually on... If you can get it, there's 2 ways to get it. If you buy an Evercade, a little handheld, it's on there. Mm-hmm. Or on the Xbox One and PlayStation, there is an arcade service on there, Ant Stream Arcade. It's on there.
Glover is?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, man. I think I'd rather bite into a fucking cyanide pill than play Glover.
My mistake. It was Golden Sun that they released on GBA.
But, okay. All right.
But they do have a Fire Emblem game on there. It just says Fire Emblem. So there is one there.
It might just be the first Fire Emblem then.
And they got Minish Cap on there. That's a Zelda mm-hmm. game you should try. That fucking game pissed me off too much.
Man, I just, it's crazy because I don't play my Switch as much as I used to, man. It's just
missing out. Oh, there's a ton on there.
I mean, with all these additions to the emulation, I am missing out because I don't even own the, I have Nintendo Online, but I don't have the version that offers the emulators.
You've got Super Nintendo and you got regular Nintendo. And I think that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think everything else is
on the expansion.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're adding stuff to all of it. Like every month something comes, you know, it's not ever a lot, but they've already got a lot of the heavy hitters on there now anyway. So I'm like, yeah, fuck it.
Then it's like, I mean, they had to sell it. So like you had to put heavy hitters on there to sell it.
Yeah.
Is there, have we ever seen anything or have you ever seen anything where they add new content in, but they take content out? Have you seen that yet?
On the, like the,
on the emulators, on any of the emulators?
No, I've not seen them take anything out.
Mm. Okay. Okay. I was just thinking like how, like what their roadmap is for their emulators. Like, are they going to try to put as much on there as they can? Or is there a cutoff where they're like, this is it. Like we can't put anything.
That seems to be the way, but at the same time, there's been a lot of people asking, like, okay, so why aren't the Mega Man games on the NES online?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they were big on there, and Nintendo works with Capcom even now, but the Mega Man Legacy collection is out there.
Yeah.
And Capcom can make money off that. So why put it on the online?
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain games that, if they're not on the online, chances are you can download, you would have to pay, but you can download them from the eShop. You know, so a lot of the stuff that isn't available there, you can just go to the eShop and get.
Gotcha.
Or it's in other collections, mm-hmm. you know, like the Namco collections and things like that.
Yeah.
Things that could be in there, but are just like, nah, we're not going to do that. We won't make money.
Hey, sometimes companies just don't like, it's crazy. You think they do, but sometimes they just don't like making money, man. It blows my mind.
Like if you go, there's a Namco Museum 1, Volume 1 and 2 on, it's on Switch, it's on Xbox. All the games are the NES ports of the mm-hmm. games. So it's like, it's not like the arcade, which you can get. It's the NES, specific NES.
Yeah.
So, of course, instead of putting them on the online, they put them in their old bundles that they can sell. And idiots like me buy them on the Switch and the Xbox because
you're like, I'm going to buy them twice. Hey, I can't say anything about that.
I'm a sucker.
I can't say anything either because I've bought in games multiple times. I've bought in fucking Resident Evil 4 every time it's come out. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
I'll buy it. It drops. I'm like, boom, jeez. I'll buy it. You could be like, Petey, don't you already own Resident Evil 4? Yeah, I own like 17 copies of Resident Evil 4. I'm buying it again.
Yeah, I got copies I'm not even played. I got a copy on the PC I ain't played yet. I need to get to.
Dude, I remember it was one of the first games I bought on Steam. I bought Resident Evil 4. I think it was Biohazard on there. It was like Biohazard 4/Resident Evil 4. And
I bought the HD edition.
Dude,
a different one.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't play it. I could not play. I don't
it's
know.
It's hard. What, it was a keyboard.
I could load up after the initial cutscene would play where they drop Leon off, and as soon as I would walk up to the trees, man, the game would crash.
Oh.
The game would crash. I had a decent laptop at the time, so I was like, well, shit. I was running it on medium. So I'm like, well, I guess this game's too much for medium. So I bumped every down to low, dude, as low as I could get it. And same spot, man, the game crashed right there. I'm like, oh, let's see if Steam will give me a refund.
let's move on to the main event. There is a huge Fallout update, Fallout 4 update, coming on April 25th. Mm-hmm. In the wake of the Fallout TV series premiere.
There's a TV series?
We're going to get to that in a minute. Bethesda has confirmed that Fallout 4 is getting a massive update on Thursday, April 25th. Fallout 4 was released nearly a decade ago, but is still beloved by fans of the franchise. It is a good game.
It is a good game. It's nice. Game. Yeah, it's good.
Originally, the Fallout 4 Next Gen update was supposed to come out last year, but as 2023 came to a close, it became clear that fans were going to have to wait until 2024 for the open-world RPG to get its long-awaited upgrade. Now, Bethesda has finally announced the release date for the big Fallout 4 Next Gen upgrade, along with other details about what fans can expect from it. The game will have native support for PS5 and Xbox Series XS consoles when it drops. The update will introduce performance and quality modes, stability improvements, 60 frames per second, increased resolutions, and various bug fixes.
Keep the bugs. The bugs ain't going nowhere.
Keep the rad roaches in there. Those on the PS4 and Xbox One will also benefit from the update, though they will be missing out on things like quality and performance modes. Mm-hmm. PC gamers aren't being left out either. Now, those playing Fallout 4 on the PC can look forward to widescreen and ultra widescreen support, fixes for quests and the creation kit, and more. The game will be added to the Epic Games Store, and with the new update, it will also become Steam Deck verified as well.
Oh.
If it weren't enough, Bethesda has pulled the curtain back even more content fans can expect when the game update drops on April 25th. Mm-hmm. Pre-Creation Club items are being released to the masses with a new update. This includes the Enclave Remnants, which also includes new Echoes of the Past quests, as well as various weapons, skins, and armor. Players can also check out the makeshift weapon deck and the Halloween workshop, with the latter adding 38 new Halloween decorations for players to customize their Fallout 4 settlements with. The Fallout 4 Enclave Remnants include weapon skins, armor skins, Tesla cannon, Hellfire power armor, XO2 power armor, and the Heavy Incinerator.
You know, I'll tell you one thing, bud. They can keep the fucking makeshift weapon pack and the Halloween decoration bullshit. But I am excited for the Enclave Remnant stuff, which is kind of funny because, if memory serves me, I don't really think there are any Enclave in Fallout 4. I don't think there's any run-ins with them.
Does Fallout 4 take place before or after the Enclave in the other games?
It takes place after, because
after everything, right?
Because it's before. What's that?
I thought. Are we sure not? It's when is it chronologically set? When is Part 4 chronologically set?
After three. It's a few years after three, because MacCready that you find in Good Neighbor is the same MacCready from Little Lamplight, the little asshole.
Yeah,
he's I think he's probably about a teenager, maybe 20, like 18 or 20, somewhere around there. And Elder Maxon, who runs that outfit of the Brotherhood of Steel, he is one of the little initiates that you can run into in the Citadel. So yeah, it's a few years after three.
Sorry if you heard my chair squeaking there.
I thought it was a rad roach running around. I was like, man, you better shoot that thing.
I love the addition of new armor, you know, new weapons, even if I don't end up using them, or the armor. I just like the new addition of those things.
Yeah.
What I want is some new Pip-Boy games. Damn it. How are they not going to develop any new Pip-Boy games? You tell me you can't come up with a Pac-Man variant on you know, come on, man.
Like Nuka Eater, call it Nuka Eater or something like that. Yeah. You like run, you walk around as Cappy and you're eating Nuka Cola bottles as like feral boots are chasing you or something.
Give me a Robotron one, pole position, something.
Damn. It's funny that you say that, because I remember that was like, I remember one time I asked you, I was like, hey, man, how's Fallout going? You're like, dude, I don't know. I can't stop playing the Pip-Boy games. I was like, okay. I was like, have you been doing anything else? You're like, no, I've just been playing Pip-Boy games. I'm like, you're going to go find your son? You're like, fuck that kid. I'll play Pitbull games. But it's funny, man. They've had four DLCs. Not really great DLCs. Only two of them were pretty good. Nowhere in those DLCs did I think that they added any new Pip-Boy games.
No, the only one I ever saw was, I think there was a mod that introduced a Pong variation.
Yeah.
But I think that was it.
But even that, man, okay, that's cool. So you download the Pong mod, right? Guess what happens? Achievements are disabled because you have a mod installed. Which blows my mind because I'm like, I'm playing a game, a Pip-Boy game. Tell me where this gives me an advantage in the game. It's like, no, because you have a mod, because you changed the original files of the game, the achievements are disabled. I'm like, okay, whatever. Because I've just done some, I've had playthroughs where I've just done straight, like kind of like graphical enhancements where, you know, it changes, you know, like the realistic weather stuff and like the night sky. Like, just that. Like, it doesn't really change anything. Like, it doesn't make me stronger. It doesn't make me faster. It doesn't give me unlimited anything. Just, you know, makes the game look a little bit better. And it's like, no, because you have these mods, achievements disabled. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch.
I the last time I played Fallout 4 was about a year ago. And instead of, like, I followed the story to a point to where I got to Red Rocket. You know, I had the same, I wouldn't kill the first Deathclaw, you know?
Uh-huh.
I get the Red Rocket gas station. Yeah, and then I've got the home base. And instead of following the story, I just, like, walked in one direction. Just, like, walked east. And then I walked west and south. And
yeah.
I would just walk along, and sometimes I got murdered, and sometimes I didn't. But it was fun. I found a lot of shit I could get into and couldn't. It was
Right? You got into some scrapes that you should have been in and some that you definitely shouldn't have been in.
And I didn't get that far in the story, but I had a lot of fun.
So, man, it's kind of funny that so like this dropped because I don't know if you've been seeing anything, but there has been after the show's release, there has been a sizable spike in people going back and playing any of the Fallout series.
Oh, yeah. Magically, they're all on sale on Xbox right now.
Exactly, yeah. They're all on sale. Believe it or not, I think 76 actually got the biggest spike of all the games.
Yeah.
Which kind of blows my mind. It blows my mind, but I will say, it's been a few years. It was before the Atlanta City expansion that I played. I gotta say, man, the game actually has come a long way. The combat's still kind of shitty, but
main thing in the game is still kind of shitty.
It's better though. Like, it is fun because a buddy of mine, me and him, I bought the plus, the subscription base, right? What is it?
Oh yeah, no, I know what you're talking about though.
The Fallout first. Fallout first.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I bought the Fallout first subscription. I bought it for a year because you get something that blows my mind. I get server-wise why it doesn't happen, but like, if you buy for a year, I had unlimited fucking storage. I could just put shit in there, and there was no weight cap to it. I could just throw stuff in there, and it was fine. And that's when we played it. And I having a dedicated server, like just being able to drop in your own world, not have to worry about anything. It was nice because the game actually ran pretty smooth because it wasn't, you didn't have, I think it's 20 players, 20 other players in the world, 30, something like that. You didn't have all that.
It was just you and whoever you invited.
Yeah, me and whoever. I think
and you could do all the story in there.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do everything.
Damn, why the hell do I got to pay to have a server to do that? I'd love to do that because I gave up. I couldn't get enough fucking bullets and people were killing me.
Yeah, like, I remember I asked you. I was like, hey, man, how do you, what do you think of 76? And you're like, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I don't even think we played it together.
No, we did. We played it a couple times, but it was very, very early on. Early on.
I remember
beta. I took the picture of it when I was at GameStop and you had to wait till the next day.
Yeah.
I got it right before I went into work. And then I came home and played it.
Yeah. It's come a long way. I was gonna reinstall it the other night, and then I seen the 96.5 or whatever it was gigabytes, and I was like, oh, let's pump the brakes on that. Let's not download that right now, because I know it's gonna happen. I'm gonna download it. I'm gonna play it by myself for a week for about 25 minute intervals, because that's about how long I can play that game by myself, where I'm like, all right, I'm where it starts to kind of teeter off and not be fun.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, I've got to stop. I'll do that for about a week, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm done with 76.
That's also, how I am with with Minecraft now. Like, I can play it for so long, and I'm just like, okay, we'll take a break.
Yeah, because I've told you countless times, man. I get absolutely, even with the even with all the updates that it's had, I get absolutely sick and tired of a nuke getting dropped out in the bottom south, and it summons the Scorch Beast Queen. I show up, everybody in the server's there. I'm wasting ammo shooting this fucking thing, and there's all these other ghouls and variants of creatures fighting you. And guess what, man? We get to the very end, and she dies. I run up to her. As soon as I open to loot her, boom, my game crashes. I'm talking hard crash, Jeremy. I'm talking game shuts down. I'm back. I'm sitting there looking at the Xbox loading screen. I'm like, this is fantastic. And I'm like, maybe I can hop in there real quick and, you know, they'll throw me back in. Nope. All that hard work, man. All my wasted ammo, all my stim packs used, wasted.
Well, maybe we'll have to get back into Fallout 76 on a private server at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
OCP server.
I'm glad that Fallout 4 is getting an upgrade.
Man. Lord knows we're not getting a 5 anytime soon.
No, dude. I'll probably be dead in the ground. I might get to see. Elder Scrolls 6. I'll be an old decrepit man, and I'll load up Elder Scrolls 6. It'll pop up along the screen, and I'll have a heart attack because I can't believe it that I'm actually playing it. But I was hoping for some love for Fallout 3, man. I was hoping to see a Fallout 3 update. I've heard some rumors that, you know, they're kind of keeping it hidden, that it might come later on in the year, upgrade for 3 and New Vegas, but I'm not going to hold my breath because all that's just hearsay.
What they need to do is go out to some of these fucking modders that have been keeping up these games and adding shit to them.
Keeping them alive? Yeah.
And be like, well, let's see what we can do here fellas. Because there's a whole New Vegas thing out there that, you know, has improved graphics and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a whole overhaul for New Vegas, man. Which, it blows my mind. I'm like, you guys started the Creation Club for a reason. Yeah. But they just do stupid miscellaneous bullshit, man. They're like, oh, here's a different variant of the 10mm pistol. Here's a new scarf on the combat armor. And it's like, why are we not doing sizable Creation Club things? Like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Creation Club that you have to purchase. But hey, man, guess what? Treat it as a DLC.
If it gets to that point where you're like, you know, we can't just release it as just for free. All right, fine. Charge, but make it worth it.
Yeah, if it's worth it for Fallout,
people buy it.
I'll pay for it.
Everyone will buy it if it's worth it. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
I'd love to have something for New Vegas. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Fantastic.
Speaking of Fallout, we've decided that we're going to review the show here on our show. We're going to start next week with episode 1, and every week we'll do episode 1, 2, 3. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a breakdown of the plot, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, talk about the acting, give an overall rating. It's not going to take us an hour and a half to review it. It's not going to take us 5 minutes. But I figured, you know what, let's make it a weekly thing. It'll be nice. You know?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Petey's already seen the whole thing. I have yet to see it. So.
Here's the funny thing about that. I probably would have finished it the night that it released. So I got home from work at 10:30 and came home. I ate real quick. I'm like, cool. I'll watch the first episode. I watched the first episode. I'm like, man, that was great. And the next day I woke up and I just got to work, and the group chat I'm in, one of my buddies was like, hey, how far did you get in the Fallout, the TV series? Not to me, to one of my other buddies. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck's he talking about? It's only one episode only dropped. And I was like, wait a second. And I got on Amazon a video and I clicked on it. Sure shit, man. All episodes all, released right there. I'm like, God dang it. I thought they were releasing them weekly, man. And like, I'm glad that, you know, you're able to binge them, but I fucking hate that shit, man. Like, give me something to do throughout the week. Give me something to hope for throughout the weeks, man. He would have had 8 weeks of content right there, man.
Isn't it funny how now it's kind of turning to where, because I remember watching Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And hating.
Hating the wait. Especially if it's a cliffhanger episode where it's like, oh, God.
Or the seasons where it would take a year, sometimes two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And they give you nothing. They tell you nothing.
Yep. And you're like, this show's not ever coming back. It's over. Somebody asked you, like, hey, Jeremy, when's Better Call Saul? You're like, God, we don't even talk about it anymore. Okay, it's a dead show. It's not coming out.
They're dead to me. And now it's like, oh, great, we can binge them all. Man, we should probably just watch them once a week.
Yeah.
let's stretch this out.
Exactly. Then you binge them all, and then you have nothing else to watch. You're sitting there, and you're like, ah, damn, what did I do? But, yeah, so
we're going to start covering that next week.
Yeah. So after I went home from work, I watched episode two. I watched episode two and three that night, and then I woke up, and before I went to work, I finished the rest of the series.
Sure. Of course not. Why? Why not?
I couldn't. I got hooked, man. I couldn't stop watching them. It's good. It's
that Walton Goggins is what does it.
Dude, let me tell you. I won't go too deep into it, man, but for me personally, that motherfucker carried the show for me.
He is, and I said this to you, man. He's one of the greatest actors that ever lived. I mean, dude, we're at that point.
No, 100%. Here's and the funny thing is I know when you watch it, every scene that you see him on, I already know you just have a big smile on your face because he absolutely kills his role.
I don't know if you've ever seen Vice Principals, but
I've seen clips of, with him and Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen clips of it.
Oh, it's amazing. Fat Man. He was great in Fat Man. Mm-hmm. He had this show called The Unicorn, which was like a sitcom. He was fucking great in that. He was in Hateful Eight. He was in Predators. Obviously, The Shield.
The Shield, yeah.
Justified, he was phenomenal in. I mean, he even played a transvestite on Sons of Anarchy. There's no
role. Did he really?
Yeah, he played the cousin of Cletus Van Damme from The Shield. He played as Venus Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Any role, he can play anything. I'm convinced of it now. Just anything. Doesn't matter. Play it. Want to play a broom? He can play a broom.
Oh, he'd play a good broom, too. Yeah, he'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I've got this character figured out.
To me, he's up there with, like I hold him and, like Denzel Washington, I think, is one of the greatest actors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Hackman. Walton Goggins is up there. I mean, he's just, and he's only getting started. I mean, he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
But his career is only just getting started, you know, in the last 10 years, so.
And honestly, like, he's had some really big supporting character roles, but I just.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy that he's just, now I think he's more known now, but, like,
yeah,
before it's like, you'd say his name, you're like, I don't know who that is.
It's finally coming around, you know. And those of us that have been there with him for the past 20 years, it's like, I've been fucking saying this. 20 years, this guy. This is the guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If he don't win an Academy Award at some point, it's the fucking crime.
I hope he wins something for this show, because I think he definitely deserves it, because he absolutely just killed this role. Like, it was phenomenal. Everybody played their role very well, but he really just... He was the star. He was the shining star for me.
He's it. Go back and watch, start watching Justified, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he steals, he's not the main character. Boy, he steals every goddamn scene he's in.
Every scene he's in. That's just pretty much how it is.
The next scene, when the scene ends with him, you're still thinking about him.
You know? Yeah.
It's like, goddamn.
That's kind of how it is with Fallout, especially, you know, when it's a scene that he's Like, it's not primarily his part of the story, yeah, but he's in it. And it's like, as soon as it's over, you're like, I don't even remember what that other person's story was, because Goggins just stole the show.
Killing it. All right, so this week, game releases, you got Dave the Diver on the PS5 coming April 16th. Mm-hmm. Ark Runner on the Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation on the 18th. Skier Ritual on the PS5 and Xbox, April 18th. The Umuragi Generation.
Umuragi? Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. PS5 on April 18th. Grounded hits the Switch on April 16th, which I didn't know wasn't on there. I just assumed Grounded was on there already.
So that one's actually kind of, for me personally, that one kind of seems pretty big, just due to the fact that Grounded was an Xbox exclusive from Obsidian, and now it's on the Switch.
And they're adding a bunch of stuff to it as well. I don't have the finite details, but there's a ton of stuff being added to it.
I know there's got to be some kind of partnership between Xbox and Nintendo that we don't really know about, but there's got to be something in the works.
Well, you know, I think Minecraft is what happened to bring, like, it initially started with the Call of Duty games. Why can't we play against people on other systems?
Yeah.
And that sort of happened for a couple of games. But it was really Minecraft being mm-hmm. out there on all the systems, and then being bought by Microsoft.
Yeah.
So now you're seeing a Microsoft game on every system. And now you're kind of like, you know, Minecraft had a Mario thing, you know, like that's kind of a, you know, and now you're seeing the shows on the Xbox, you know, and it's a Sony thing. It's like, holy shit, what are we seeing here? You know, and we're seeing Nintendo games on Xbox and PlayStation now, like the Disney Capcom collection. Yeah, it's made by Capcom, but those are all Nintendo games. And now you can play them on your Xbox? Holy shit. Things are moving. Like, it's certain. I will never see one console play everything. And I don't want that anyway.
Yeah.
But what I want is, I want everybody to stop punching each other and just, you know what? There should be no exclusives. Just,
no.
If you make it for Nintendo, make it for fucking Xbox.
Yeah.
You know? Let everyone play. Why wouldn't you want to make money? Why? You know?
The only exclusive that I would add with that would just be the fact that, hey, it drops on this system first.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Like,
if you wanted to do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just,
it would come out on Nintendo, and then a week or month later,
it drops on these systems. That would be it. No, hey, this is only happening on this system right here.
You know, you can almost go back to it. You can almost say it started when Sega dropped out of the console race and started making games for Nintendo, which, as a kid, we never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if I was a kid and you're like, hey, man, in 20 years, you're going to play a game with Mario and Sonic on the same screen, on the same system, and same game. Uh-huh. Like, you're fucking insane, dude. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, here, why are you lying? Yeah.
Yeah, here we are. So it could have. I could see it happening.
I mean, that's because at the time, man, Sega was a huge competitor with Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were very neck and neck, man. Yeah. Ooh. But over the years, Nintendo obviously just started pulling away, and Sega just kind of, I don't
Sega
know, really
fucked up. All right. What are you playing right now, Petey?
Right now, man, I am still playing some Mountain Blade Bannerlord 2, and just the other day, I don't know if I want to continue my original Fallout 4 story or make a new one. I think I'm going to go with a new one, just because there's nothing else for me to do with my current campaign with 4, so I think I'm going to start a new Fallout 4 run.
I'm thinking about starting one with all the new stuff coming out. I think I might start a new one too.
Oh, you start watching the show, man. You're like, I need to play Fallout.
Yeah. I'm still working on Dragon Quest II. I'm starting to do a massive backlog.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this retro collection on the one with Operation Wolf First Mission, which is an awesome on rails shooter. It's been a blast. It's got Flashback from 1992 and Arkanoid from like 91.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got those three. Then I've got, I picked up the Atari 50 bundle on my Xbox. I got on Switch and Xbox now. I'm a sucker for compilation games.
Yeah, I know you are.
I am a sucker for them, dude. But then I bought RoboCop, Rogue City.
You bought RoboCop.
Oh man, this is great. I've only played about 20 minutes of it because I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you can run. You can't like outright run, but you can move a little faster.
Yeah.
They don't have true aim down the sights, but what they do have is when you aim down the sights, the gun comes in, but the green box comes in like from the movie.
It's kind of like a lock on.
Yeah, where he like in the when you watch the movies and he aims and you see through his sight.
Yep.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, that's fucking cool. That's cool.
You got your gun, and the first achievement I got, and this is, I've been playing Xbox since 08.
Mm-hmm.
I got over 100,000 achievement points. This is the greatest achievement I think I've ever gotten in my life. This is the greatest. I got in the first 5 minutes. It's called Zip This Up. How do you get it? Shoot an enemy in a sensitive spot. Just like in the movie. Just like in the movie.
Oh, that's fantastic. I was thinking it was going to be titled Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me or something.
Oh, my God.
But that's even better. Ooh, I hope there's I'll buy that for a dollar achievement.
Oh, there's got to be. I hope so.
I hope so. It's stupid, but I hope that's the title of it, and I hope it's only worth one gamer point.
What retro game of the week do you have to give out?
Well, to give out to people, just to keep it in light of Fallout, man, I've got some Fallout 3, man.
You go wrong with some Fallout 3, man. I got a bad history with Fallout 3 because when it first came out, I got it and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And then about a year went by and I thought, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it another try. And I got it. And what's really funny is when you start it and you're a baby and you can cry, you know?
Yep.
my son's mom, who I was with at the time, she was in the bedroom asleep as I'm playing. Oh. I was trying to keep it low. As soon as the baby started crying, she shot up because Brett was only like 6 months at the time.
Yeah.
You know? She shot up. Yep. She's like, where's the baby? I'm like, it's okay. It's just a game.
It's the baby in the game crying.
Yeah. And that was it, man. I took off from there.
Yeah.
So,
it was a couple years before I bought it, but I was finally able to purchase it it was on the $20 rack at Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't
paid
the game.
Full 60 for that bad boy.
Yeah, it wasn't the game of the year edition. It was just the base edition. You know what? Honestly, like I didn't really know anything about the series at all. You know what really sold me for the game? Hmm. That fucking box art, man. Looking at looking at you, man. I seen that armor and I'm like, I don't know what the game that is. I picked it up. I turn around. I'm looking at it, and I just looked at the back pictures and stuff. I'm like, this is the fucking game I'm going to buy.
Well, that's like the Fallout New Vegas box art is fucking awesome, too.
Ooh, yeah.
With that coat and that fucking giant gun.
The NCR Ranger armor?
Yeah. Ooh,
man.
I'm like, where the hell do I get all that in a fucking game, you know?
Yeah.
Oof. Holy shit.
Man, that armor is so... That is... If you can't have power armor, I would absolutely 100% have the NCR Ranger armor.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about cool, man. And you get night vision with it. You can see in the dark. Yeah. That's a good fucking armor set.
My retro game of the week is Asteroids for the 2600.
You know, my dad's got those. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard. We can't even sit down. I love the vector graphics on the arcade, but you really gotta, like, I love the Atari 2600 more because all the Asteroids are colored in. Mm-hmm. And there's something about it. I think I played that first, so that's... And I just love a good game of Asteroids. 5200's good as... Oh, no. 7800's good. 5200, avoid. It's terrible.
Yeah. Not that good, huh?
No. It's that... It's just... It's too much slowdown, and it's just not... The setup's not very good.
Not there. Yeah.
Petey, I got to ask you a question.
Ask me a question, bud.
Are you in the market for some new Nerf guns or backpacks or t-shirts?
Pop figures? You know, I'm always in the market for some nerdy stuff, man.
Well, if you're looking for some Nintendo or even Fallout or Batman or Marvel stuff, head on over to Entertainment Earth. I picked up a Friday the 13th action figure, Roy Burns, Part 5. It is awesome. It's going to be here in a couple of days. They are the leading retailer of all things pop culture, nerdy, geeky, all that stuff you want. They got figures, pop figures, shirts, backpacks, cups, statues, Nerf guns. They've got Star Wars helmets. If you need a new Stormtrooper helmet, they've got that. They've got lightsabers. They got all kinds of stuff and so much more. In video games as well, they got a couple of those over there. Head on over there and use the code COOPSHOW for 10% off qualifying orders. That'll work on everything but clearance items, obviously.
Dang. Yeah. And can't get that extra off.
Can't get that extra off. They've got new stuff coming in all the time. You can pre-order. You can see what's coming in. You don't have to pre-order if you don't want to. But if you do, guaranteed you get your item on time. On the main page of our site is a link to Entertainment Earth in case you want to go there. If you go through there, obviously you still get the 10% off. And we get a cut of all sales made. It helps support the show. So if you want something cool and new, head on over there. Use the Co-op Show code. Get you 10% off and help support the show.
Yes, sir.
You
want to
hit the rest of the plug, sir?
Absolutely, I do, man. All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for stopping by and giving us a listen, wherever you are in the world. If you guys want to drop us a comment or anything, you can reach out to us at our socials. Jeremy's socials are Facebook. We've got capital J, Jeremy, space, Nichols. His Twitter is _ capital J, Jeremy, capital N, Nichols. That's all together, no spaces. His Instagram, all this is lowercase, Jeremy Nichols V1, no spaces altogether. And his TikTok, once again, everything's lowercase, no spaces, Jeremy Nichols V1. And if you want to reach out to me, my socials are Facebook. You've got capital P, Petey, space, capital K, Koenig. My Twitter is capital K, Koenig, and capital P, Petey, no space in that. And my Instagram, Petey Koenig, all that's lowercase, no spaces. And, you know, you guys don't have to write this down. You don't have to scribe it or anything. This is all on the Podbean website, so you can just drop into our socials from there if you want to. So the show is now available for ad campaigns for those that are interested in advertising with us. If you're looking for an affordable advertising solution for your product, think about advertising with the Co-op Show. Our audience is a wide variety of ages and cultures, so whether it's shaving products, cell phone service, or mattresses, we can advertise for you. For campaign packages, you can reach Jeremy and myself at any of the socials listed. All right, guys, I want to take a moment and talk about our Patreon. So if that's your thing, you can show some love and support to the show. We currently have 5 tiers available with varying prices for each tier. You can be a director, vice president, all the way up the ladder to the CEO, each tier coming with its own benefits, such as access to blog posts not found anywhere else, suggesting game topics that to be featured on the show, naming the credits, all the way up to being a guest. So if you ever think about being a guest on the show, that might be your ticket. Any and all donations will go directly into the show, and our show will always be free, guys. So you don't have to worry about, oh, man, I got to pay to listen to us. No, we're always free for you guys. So please consider joining the OCP team. The link is on the Podbean website. Now, here's some big news for you guys. We are now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Podchaser, the Podbean website, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Samsung Pod app, and BoomPlay. So if maybe Podbean's not your cup of tea and you like Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, hey, guess what? We're there for you guys to listen to now. So check us out there.
I love that we're on so many places now.
I do. Yeah. So do I, man.
That turned out great.
Yeah. Like I said, man, you know, we talked about it earlier that, you know, maybe one of these things isn't, you know, where you want to listen to it at. But so now we have alternatives for wherever you want to go listen to.
And we're working on getting it on iTunes. It's not as easy as you think. there's a lot more involved in it, and it's just
now some background checks.
Yeah, they don't make it easy.
You gotta give your firstborn.
Oh my god. What I do want to do before we get out of here is I want to give a shout out to my buddy Nick in up in South County. We worked together at Toys R Us. Golly, it's been over 10 years ago, and we reconnected last year. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome to hear from him. And he actually, the reason I want to give him a shout out, he is into fighting sticks. I don't know if he's into fighting games. I think he plays them a little bit. He's gotten better at them, but he actually mods his fighting sticks with all kinds of lights and stuff.
Oh, really?
That's really cool stuff. Yeah, Nick's a cool guy. he actually ran the video game zone at Toys R Us when I worked there, and I worked in the stock room. So he was the man when it came to video. Like, if you wanted to know anything about video games, you went and talked to him. Like, he could get you anything. He could talk you through anything. He's a solid guy. I miss not being able to talk to him. It's great being able to catch back up to him. So it's awesome. So
shout out to
Nick. Hi, Nick. All right. This week on the show, if I can pull it back up, we talked about the huge Fallout 4 update coming April 25th. Nintendo Switch Online getting 3 new SNES games, which are awesome, except for that one. EA increasing its price of a subscription service, which is not too bad. Dr. Disrespect talking about his Twitch ban and what it did to him.
The two-time back-to-back Blockbuster champion, 93-24.
Shut up! Friday the 13th, the game resurrected, hit with a cease and desist. I didn't mean that, Petey.
You know that. I know. I know. I went overboard on the Dr. Disrespect plug.
Golly, it's like your hero or something. All right, that's it. We will be back next week, episode 6. We're going to cover our first episode of Fallout, the TV show. And we'll have the news and reviews and maybe some
more. And the blues. And we might have some blues. We never
good,
know.
Good, the bad, and the ugly. You know?
Hey, that's a good movie.
That is a good movie. All right, Petey, take us home.
Cha-ca-cow.